Recording in progress.
Why am I seeing this guy?
Okay, so is this a status conference and an amended authority to pursue?
This is a status conference, Your Honor, that you have requested. Additionally, we had set a petition to pursue a bankruptcy judgment. Before we got started on that, Your Honor, I did want to speak at least to two of the individuals who are present here today. Observing, I just want Your Honor to understand how those people fit into this case, or in one instance don't fit into this case. Just so you know, Your Honor, Mr. is here watching today. Certainly, I have no objection to him being here and observing the proceedings. He, at one point in time, had asserted himself as an interested person in these proceedings. Judge Burton struck his notice of appearance, or Ms. Garcia's notice of appearance, representing him. That was never appealed, and nobody ever filed a motion for reconsideration. So again, we're okay with him being here, obviously watching, but it's our position, number one, that he not participate, and number two, that Ms. Garcia, under the auspices of representing the daughter, not make any arguments that are really arguments on behalf of the Bernsteins. The second person who's here today that we recognize is Dr. Zoraida Navarro. I think it will interest the court to know that Dr. Navarro is actually a former client of my firm's. She terminated our firm several years ago. This was an unrelated matter. And then later on in that matter, she hired Ms. Garcia to represent.
Hold on a second. Ms. Navarro, please respond. Ms. Navarro. Yes, ma'am. This is a court.
Yeah, hold on, because I'm on the phone here.
Ma'am.
Basically, my father was put in a guardianship to protect him.
Ms. Navarro, this is a court proceeding. You're on the telephone. Ms. Navarro, please, if you were in the courtroom right now, we would have to take your phone or escort you outside. Ms. Navarro. Okay. Ms.
Navarro, I apologize, Your Honor. I think she's talking to you on the phone. I'm not sure. I could be wrong.
How is she talking to me on the phone?
I'm not sure. I think that she thinks she's talking to you. But it's up to you, Your Honor. It's your courtroom.
Yeah.
Ms. Navarro, can you hear me?
I think she has you on Zoom on her iPhone. But maybe the mute button's on.
We can't hear you. We cannot hear you, Ms. Navarro. So see, it would stand to reason if she could hear me, she would hear me saying we can't.
Right.
So this is just for the record, a frustrating experience because Ms. Navarro is talking on her cell phone where she's muted.
Right. What I'd like to tell the court, you know, she was a former client of ours. She terminated our firm. This was in an unrelated matter. At some point after terminating our firm, she hired Ms. Garcia to represent her. And interestingly enough, because she is a client or former client of Ms. Garcia, she manages to appear at multiple hearings throughout this matter. In addition, there have been times where either Ms. Garcia or Mr. Hall have actually copied Dr. Navarro on internal emails between the lawyers relating to this case. I just want to put on the record that it's my firm's belief that this is some kind of a misguided attempt at intimidation, and it's not going to work.
Your Honor, I'm sorry, just a brief response. She's here to watch. Ms. Lewis was her attorney prior to me. This has nothing to do with me. She is here as a court observer, and there's no nefariousness on our part.
As a court observer, you mean Ms. Navarro?
Yes, Ms. Navarro is observing.
Navarro is not observing. Is talking on herself.
No, I understand, Your Honor.
You. And I find it to be as a court. And she continues to not respond to me. She was able to speak to me previously when she said she refuses to respond, and she does not say anything. So, an officer of the court, ma'am, what do you suggest I do?
Your Honor, this is your courtroom. You do whatever you want.
Oh, Ms. Navarro. Ms. Navarro, can you hear me?
You hear me?
Ms. Navarro, can you hear me?
Hello, are you speaking with me?
I am.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Who were you just on the phone with the past 5 minutes?
Oh, I was with a patient that's in the hospital.
Oh, okay. Because I picked you multiple times.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Literally, this is the courtroom, and you were on your phone while we were trying to speak to you for five minutes.
I'm so sorry.
You refused to put your phone down. Okay. You refused to respond to me. This is a courtroom.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I understand, Your Honor, and I understand protocol.
In this courtroom right now, with your cell phone to your ear, you're on call. You cannot do that on Zoom.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Let's proceed with the hearing.
Your Honor, it sounds, I'm getting a lot of feedback on my end. It sounds like maybe somebody is also listening to the Zoom proceedings through their cell phone, and it's creating some reverb.
Is anybody else?
That's much better. I think somebody might have just turned it off. I appreciate that.
Okay.
All right. But I would ask, Your Honor, that if Ms. Dr. Navarro is here simply to be a court watcher, that she can observe and not be permitted to speak. Same rules as everybody else that's just observing.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to mute everybody's line if they're not talking, and you can unmute when you need to speak if that comes to be, if you're called on to speak. Okay. All right. Let's go. What are we doing today with regard to the amended petition to pursue supplementary proceedings?
Sure. So, Your Honor, this was the Guardian's amended petition, for authority to pursue proceedings supplementary. Basically, prior to the inception of the guardianship, there was a judgment entered against the Bernsteins and in favor of the ward, Patricia Sarum, in a federal bankruptcy proceeding. I believe that judgment is upwards of about $40,000. We would like permission to engage in proceedings supplementary simply to collect that and to get some additional money from the ward. I know that there are parties here or people who claim that they are parties who have an objection to the attorney that we have chosen in this case. He's still the attorney of record in the foreclosure case. He has long-standing institutional knowledge about this matter. He has actually reduced his normal rate by about $300 an hour in order to take this case in a cost-effective manner. I know at one point in time there was a claim raised that the purported settlement agreement entered into by the ward during the incapacity proceedings precludes pursuing this bankruptcy judgment. I've read the thing 5 times. I did not see that in there. I'm certainly happy for somebody to point it out and tell me where I'm wrong, but I don't see it in there. So for those reasons, we'd like to proceed with this and collect on that judgment and get some more money for the ward.
Okay. Ms. Garcia, what do you say?
Your Honor, Judge Burton was the prior judge. And what I'm requesting today, and I don't know if you need a written motion or Maura Tennis is fine, on behalf of Patty Sum Jr., who's the daughter. There's 2 daughters, her and Joanna. Ms. Sum's attorney was basically run off, Amber Patwell, and they filed a motion in the foreclosure case to set aside the judgment a year later. So this debt they're trying to collect is not related directly to foreclosure case, it deals with a bankruptcy case, but it was part of the settlement that is still active and still current and still good until and if Judge Burton sets it aside. So what I would like the court to do—
And it's my understanding that Judge Burton's no longer on the case.
I'm sorry, Judge Nutt, Your Honor, I apologize. Judge Nutt in the foreclosure case, the Bernstein foreclosure case. In that case, Mr. Sweetapple was the ward's or Ms. Sum's attorney. She terminated him. And she hired 2 other lawyers, excuse me, including Ms. Patwell, who was also the attorney in this case. I apologize, Your Honor.
You okay? So
to me, her daughter firmly believes she needs a lawyer-appointed judge. Either Ms. Patwell come back in, or we want the court to appoint an independent lawyer that has no connection to me, Mr. Sweetapple, Eileen O'Malley.
If you want to do that, did you file a motion to that effect about hiring an independent attorney?
No, Your Honor, because you said this for status today. This is kind of where I wanted to talk to the court.
I thought this was status and the amended petition.
That's right. The amended petition, we don't think it should be pursued right now because Judge Nutt is the one with the jurisdiction over the foreclosure case. There is a current settlement that's active and good unless he sets it aside. And just so you know, another additional fact that came up fairly recently when you took over this case, you also took over the case from Laura Judge Johnson, which relates to the Bernstein's funds, where the funds are sitting in the court registry for the settlement. And now you're a judge on that case also, so I'll be filing motions in that case, in this case, and the foreclosure case, and you control all the funds for the settlement. You control the ward to make decisions for her, you know, as the judge, and then Judge Knight is dealing with the foreclosure case. So this is a waste of funds, and they're jumping before the cart because that was settled, and that is still an active settlement until someone sets it aside.
Okay, I understand that you made those arguments. Let me hear what Ms. Lewis has to say in response.
So once again, Your Honor, here is Ms. Garcia arguing on behalf of the Bernsteins. The settlement agreement that was purportedly signed by the ward while she was in the middle of incapacity proceedings does not address proceeding supplementary. It does not address bankruptcy settlement. I have read it multiple times. There is no mutual release in there. It is not covered. So there is no preclusion. Moreover, Ms. Garcia mentioned something. Well, I don't think that's really germane because really the point of this is, you know, the foreclosure stays in the foreclosure. And I think what you're going to hear later today is you're going to hear people trying to bring aspects of the foreclosure into the guardianship case because they don't like the orders that are being entered in the foreclosure proceeding. We have filed a motion under 744-441 asking to prosecute a lawsuit and to retain a lawyer to do it. That's it. There is no need to appoint independent counsel in this matter. The ward has a guardian, my client. The time for independent counsel has passed, and we need to be able to move forward with these. Frankly, every time we try to take an action that benefits Ms. Salm, everybody tries to stop us because there's a negative financial benefit to the Bernsteins. We would like to pursue this judgment that has been entered by a federal judge back in 2022.
Okay. Well, I understand your issues with regard to Judge Nutt, but this is done in cases. Mr. Mute yourself because every time you unmute, I need a lot of feedback. Okay. Anyway, this is done often when there are judgments. I don't see any reason why not to. These are arguments you can make in the bankruptcy court if you don't feel like they, you know, should go forward. But I still think that they should be able to proceed supplementary so that they can obtain whatever funds that they believe, you know, are due to the ward. I don't see why they wouldn't be able to do that. So I'm going to grant the petition. I think that's all that it said.
Your Honor, maybe.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm trying to be heard.
Yes, I understand. You're not a party to this case.
I'm muted.
You're not a party to this case?
Well, I am an issue, Your Honor. With all due respect, Your Honor has an email that your JA has actually acknowledged where Your Honor has information about fraud in this case. Your Honor also has information that Pat Salm, who's interestingly never been produced, and you've been misled, just like Judge Burton was misled by Ms. Lewis up here and the Kittroser firm about the background of this case. Now, I have three motions I was directly aware of that's been asked to be scheduled. That's why you were emailed.
Hang on 1 second. So, you know, Judge Burton found that you're not a party to this case.
But Judge Burton was mandatorily qualified, Your Honor, and I moved timely under this judicial rule to vacate that order. That's one of the motions in the email that Your Honor has to schedule. Now, the Kittroser firm, what they want to tell me is they're ready for a hearing at any time, but then they won't schedule a hearing. So
okay.
Therefore,
you know what? We should schedule that hearing right now. But
yeah. Your Honor, the reason that I have not communicated with Mr. Hall about scheduling a hearing is because of Local Rule 6. And what Local Rule 6 says is that whenever a motion, I know he styles it as a motion to vacate, if you look at the Rule of Judicial Administration, which Mr. Hall has demonstrated he's very well familiar with, it's treated as a motion for reconsideration. Motions for reconsideration get submitted to the court, and then the court decides whether or not it's going to deny it on its face or set a hearing. So I don't actually have the authority to set that for a hearing. That is solely within the purview of the court.
Okay. All right. So the only, we handled the motion that's set today. Am I correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Hall, we'll give you some hearing time because I was not the judge. It's a little bit of a sticky situation because I was not the judge that initially heard that. So I will review the docket and I will give you some hearing time, okay? And we will have Marcia come on and give you some hearing dates for that, that, you know, for me to hear the motion for reconsideration. It would be different posture if I was the one who heard the initial motion, and then I'd be able to speak more intelligently about it, obviously, and protect, perhaps rule on the papers. But there's been a lot of things that have gone on in this case prior to my arrival on it, okay? So Marcia's gonna hop on and give you some hearing time shortly, and then that's all we're gonna do today, okay?
Your Honor, may I ask the court for some direction?
Yep.
Okay, because you came on, you know, after Judge Burton, we had numerous hearings in front of him. I'm in the process of ordering all the transcripts.
Okay.
I just want to be open and upfront with the court to let you know that the orders that are being relied on, the injunction against my client, Patty Jr., the final injunction, and some other orders are inconsistent with the transcripts. And I'm going to be presenting that to the court and timely filing a 1.540 because I'm just concerned. And I want the court to know. I apologize, Your Honor.
You can certainly file whatever you need to file, and, you know, I'll consider it. But as you know, I mean, when successor judges take over, the law doesn't dictate that we undo every single order that was previously entered. So if it is legally appropriate for you to file, you can do so, and I'll consider them in due course.
Okay, I just want the court to know that it's in all in good faith. I just want the court to have the tone, have the proper information, and be able to make the best rulings for my client's mother. Because my client also is going to be filing for a wellness check because, this, you know, the visitations keep getting cut off on the phone. And there's some issues with the other people who have been socializing with her. So I just want to get the court up to date, honestly, and with integrity. Because what they're doing in a foreclosure case, they're setting my deposition, they're setting people to subpoena me in my private home, although I'm a former prosecutor. And just the actions being taken, the court needs to see all the cases.
Okay.
So I'm going to be providing you all the transcripts.
I understand. Okay. I understand.
Your Honor,
thank you.
Bernstein, can I be heard for a moment?
Your Honor, we object. He is not a party.
Listen, sir, hold on one second. Okay, please.
Yes.
Hold on. Okay. We handled the motion that was separate today. We're going to get some hearing time, as I previously stated. We don't have time for everybody to speak today. I understand you want to be here, and that's fine. And it seems like a lot of people want to speak on this case, and we have to do everything in an orderly fashion. So let me get Marcia here to get some hearing time, okay? Okay.
Your Honor, if I can clarify one thing for Your Honor.
Mr. Hall.
I think it's going to help you.
Let me just get Marcia on to get some hearing time, which is what you want, okay?
No.
Marcia, please, if you can.
Yes, I'm here, Your Honor. Judge, can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Okay. How much time are we looking for?
An hour.
1 hour.
Okay, I have May 13th at 10 a.m.
I can do that time.
That's fine, Your Honor.
Can we clarify what what motions are going to be heard that day?
You got a motion for reconsideration and a motion to vacate. Those are the two things that are being heard.
Right, because what, well, and that's what I was trying to just clarify for Your Honor, because one of the motions is to vacate the authority for the Kit Roser firm or Charlie Rivard to hire Mr. Sweetapple in the first instance, which is why I suggested this was inappropriate for UNC in the first place and uploaded the exhibits of Pat Somm.
I understand that. I think what we need to hear is the motion to reconsider and the motion to vacate regarding your being a party or not being a party or able to participate in these hearings.
I think that would be the threshold issue, Your Honor.
That is the threshold issue before we get to anything else. Any other issues, okay? We have to determine whether or not legally you're a party to this case.
Okay. I also want to express my concern, Your Honor, and that this is going to, that, well, I don't want to say it's going to devolve. I'm fairly confident that some of the other alleged interested persons in this matter are going to attempt to use this one-hour hearing to fight the foreclosure. And I'm concerned that there's going to be an attempt to take us beyond the very narrow issue of whether or not Mr. Hall is an interested person under the federal statutes, and we're going to get into these issues about, we keep on hearing fraud, 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 fraud. So is this going to be an evidentiary hearing? Is this going to be simply pure argument?
I don't believe this is going to be an evidentiary hearing. I think it's just going to be pure argument. I will streamline as much as possible to hear the motion for reconsideration and the motion to debate, and it'll be legal argument, I think, is what we will be doing.
I would suggest that there may be a need for evidentiary hearing potentially, so we should at least look at a date for that.
We're not going to do that yet. First, we're going to have this hearing, okay, to determine whether or not you're even able to participate, okay? I'm going to get ready for my 11 o'clock now. Yes, Ms. Garcia?
Sorry, Your Honor. As far as the motions that that the daughter wants to file to appoint an attorney for the mom, do you want me to set that on just a motion calendar?
No, I don't think this case should ever be set at UMC. There's too many things going on. You can coordinate with Marcia if you can't find special set time online.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
And what was that date that she gave, the 13th, at what time? Is it the 13th at 10?
May 13th at 10 a.m.
Okay.
Okay. I'll go ahead and prepare an order on that.
Thank you, Attorney Lewis.
Thank you. All right, and then I will go ahead and I will prepare an order on the petition for authority to pursue the proceeding supplementary as well.
Correct. Okay, everybody, thank you so much. Have a good day. Be safe.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.